Gilmore, Lubno, Madden, Miller, Semlek, Stepson, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 22, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Helen Ann, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 20, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Helen Ann, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 78, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Helen Ann, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 13, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Escobel K., Hales, Hallinan, Harvey, Eichel, Landon, Lubno, Millen, Stewart. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 52, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Escobel K., Hales, Hallinan, Harvey, Eichel, Landon, Lubno, Millen, Stewart. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Are there any bill re-referrals? Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I would request that House Bill 107, Property Tax Relief 2, be re-referred to Appropriations.
House Bill 107 will be re-referred from Committee Number 3 to Committee Number 2. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I request that House Bill 52 be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objection, House Bill 52 will be re-referred from Committee Number 10 to Committee Number 2. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 31.
House Bill 31, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36.
House Bill 36, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to notaries and notarial acts.
House Bill 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59.
House Bill 59, introduced by Representative Martin, an act relating to TANF amendments.
House Bill 59, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64.
House Bill 64, introduced by Representative Philp, an act relating to the State Auditor regarding criminal background checks.
House Bill 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 71.
House Bill 71, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to public lands and fire suppression.
House Bill 71, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86.
House Bill 86, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to local governments regarding reverse 9/11 emergency systems.
House Bill 86, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 111.
House Bill 111, introduced by Representative Samuelson, an act relating to state lands regarding the Board of Land Commissioners.
House Bill 111, having been read two separate times, The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
House Bill 5, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to gasoline tax distribution, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 5, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow, Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Filt,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace, Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Thanks,
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 5, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 5 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 6.
House Bill 6, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to the State Veterans Museum, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 6, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers. Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen, Jorgensen, Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne, Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave, excused. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 6, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 6 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 7.
House Bill 7, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to the Real Estate Commission, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 7, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Kraft,
Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Meyer, aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave, excused, Mr. Speaker.
I
am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 7, having received the affirmative votes of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 7 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 8.
House Bill 8, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to election code revisions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 8, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F. Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer. Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave, excused. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 8 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9.
House Bill 9, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to campaign finance reporting, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have some amendments. Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring Amendment 1 to House Bill 9 and ask for your consideration. When I'm through explaining this amendment, I'm going to withdraw it in favor of the Second Amendment. But let me make my points, if you would. They apply to some extent to the Second Amendment. In fact, they apply in the same way, just not as stringently. What we have here is a follow-up on the fact that we are now modifying our campaign reporting processes so that those expenses and donations will be transparent to folks much more readily and searchably. The current system, as we all know, is not informal, but there's a little variance in the system. And we are, at least I've been told, quite behind the state of the art in most states in the transparency of our records. We will obtain transparency if that issue of electronic record keeping takes place. We'll obtain it in about 4 years. And I would ask that we resist dramatic changes in the amounts allowable to be solicited until we have more data so that we can tell what the trends may be. And my specific reason for bringing this to the floor is we had a district in the last general election where $140,000 was spent between the primary and the general election. Now, I find it very hard to believe that that is a way to express the will of the people whom we are here to represent. So I ask you, I withdraw amendment number one and ask you to support amendment number two. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Without exception, third reading amendment number one to House Bill 9 has been withdrawn. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill number 9 and request favorable consideration of it. This is a fairly simple amendment. About all it does is limit the amount of money that the political action committees can contribute to campaigns. The bill as written prior to the amendment allows $3,500 in the primary and in the general. That would total $7,000. I think that this would change fairly radically, or has the potential to radically change the way elections are done in the state of Wyoming. Most of us in our various elections, very few of us had more than a $10,000 total campaign fund. This would be probably a bit much to see, too much of a trial to see how much money campaigns can be affected by money. Most of us have to go door to door to get elected. I think that's resulted in a citizen legislature that we ought to try to preserve. Speaking in favor of the amendment and the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would think that this bill is an important piece of legislation that we've worked on. I think it looks as a friendly amendment. It's not overly friendly, but we'll accept it.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just arise and speak in favor of the amendment. I think this is kind of another step in the right direction where we make sure that voters are fully informed on where the campaign dollars in campaigns in Wyoming come from. And this eliminates or helps ameliorate, I guess, another layer or another hoop that voters would have to go through to figure out where money is coming from. What we do by adopting this amendment is if you're an individual, you can put more money into a campaign. And if you're an individual, you'd be listed in campaign forms that are online that people can see exactly where money is coming from for candidates. By squeezing down a little bit on PACs, we eliminate that extra hoop of going back and figuring out, okay, who's behind this PAC that's giving money to campaigns. So I think this is another good step in the right direction of blowing open the system and shedding light on where dollars are coming from. Thank you.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was being a bit shy to come up and speak on this, but got some courage on and for the amendment. And I guess my reasoning was because this was really not an issue for me, because I either flat refuse or send back every dime that is sent to me from the PACs. And it has amazed me, I guess, at how rare of an occurrence that really is amongst all of us. And I just felt it. This was a good opportunity to share that with you and encourage everyone that we can run successful campaigns by accepting only personal donations from family and friends. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number two to House Bill 9. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number two to House Bill 9 has been adopted. House Bill 9 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Alden. Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby. Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Filth.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Alden, no to aye. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 9, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 9 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 16.
House Bill 16, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to special election districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 16, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales. Hallinan, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
Samuelson,
aye. Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, no to aye. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 16, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 16 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21.
House Bill 21, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to commercial vehicle fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 21, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden,
aye.
Anderson,
aye.
Bagby,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
no.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones, conflict,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Conflict.
Mr. Speaker, conflict. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Alden, aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed, 55 ayes, 3 noes, 2 conflicts.
House Bill 21, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 21 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38.
House Bill 38, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to Medicaid provider reimbursements, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I should start by saying I voted no on this bill in committee. The problem that was brought before us was pediatricians, general practitioners, and dentists hadn't had a review on their Medicaid reimbursement rate for some time, and this bill originally was brought to solve that problem. As written, it provides, if you look on line 15 of page 1, that statute refers to a whole laundry list of people who provide services for Medicaid in Wyoming. There are a whole bunch of questions around this bill that we didn't get what I felt fully answered. I ask, what is this going to cost at our next budget session? And if we added a 3% raise, it would be $5.7 million. However, they did not factor in all of the Medicaid providers. What they factored in were 7 groups of providers, and yes, they are the biggest, but there are a whole bunch of other providers. There are a whole bunch of providers that have a rebasement system already, and that's what my amendment addresses. What the bill suggests is that the department shall every 2 years, in conjunction with the biennial budget process, propose a new reimbursement schedule for providers. And this says, this amendment would be, the new reimbursement schedule shall not apply to those providers who have or will have a reimbursement system to cover increases in costs for Medicaid services. Nursing homes have their own rebasement system, and it's every 5 years, but not less than 3 years. So if we come to a crisis in nursing homes and prices have escalated, they're having a hard time staying open, then we can rebase them every 3 years. There are other providers that already have different systems. Hospitals, it's not a rebasement system, but I don't remember what the name of their system is. But they are rebased automatically. What this does is remove those providers. This amendment removes those providers who have a different system than once every 2 years. There are some providers that are evaluated every year. So what this does is it just exempts from that every 2 year budget process and keeps them with their own system that they've already been developed. It also will apply to those who have or will have, and there are bills in the hopper right now that will have a different reimbursement system than this once every 2 years. This bill also, the bill itself, I'm not going to go there. That's it.
Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I think this is a friendly amendment. Mr. Speaker, What we wanted to do is not have providers wait 8 years or more in between having their reimbursement adjusted. That's what we'd seen sometimes before. There is going to be a cost associated with it, but I think that there's a cost associated with any of the new proposals coming out. And the strength of this is that the department will propose this. They will look and see how much providers are being given. using data as to whether or not there's vacancies, applications, are they having trouble providing them? And then they're going to take that to the Appropriations Committee. And that's what we wanted to make sure happened, that this went before the Appropriations Committee. So the way I read the amendment is that's referring to those who've already been taken care of. So I think that that's a friendly amendment.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 38. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to it signify by saying no. By your vote, you have adopted third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 38. House Bill 38 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brechtel, Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hallinan Conflict,
Conflict.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
Harvey,
aye. Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
Stewart,
aye. Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 conflict.
House Bill 38, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 38 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 54.
House Bill 54, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding natural gas valuation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 54, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake. Blake,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
Yagi,
aye. Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp, Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Anderson,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 54, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 54 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 66.
House Bill 66, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to intergovernmental cooperation regarding revolving loan fund accounts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 66, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Throne. Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 66, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House of Representatives, House Bill 66 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 91.
House Bill 91, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to sales and use tax, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 91, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
McComey,
here,
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg.
Samuelson,
aye. Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 91, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 91 has passed the House. Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I would request that to re-refer House Joint Resolution 3 to Appropriations.
Representative Anderson, the bill hasn't been reported back yet out of committee, so we'll have to do that this afternoon. After further consultation, without objection, House Joint Resolution 3 will be re-referred from Committee Number 3 to Committee Number 2. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give you a preview of this week's schedule. This afternoon, we will begin the first reading on the budget, and we'll go through the first half of that, of first reading, the Appropriations Committee will. And then tomorrow, we will complete the first reading on the budget, and Wednesday will be second reading, the first opportunity for amendments on the floor to the budget. Thursday, we will not work the budget. We'll have that day between second and third reading, and then third reading on the budget on Friday. Typically, the second Friday is the last day for bills on committee of the whole. That's not necessarily a hard and fast rule, but because we're trying to complete the budget this week, we'll wrap up most all of committee of the whole by the end of the day Thursday. We'll have some bills that come in Friday morning on committee of the whole, and then we'll complete the budget. So we can have that done before the weekend, and LSO can get things going. And so those committee chairmen, if you have something Thursday, see what you can do to move it along, get it out by Thursday at the latest. I thought we might be stopping committee of the whole on Thursday, but since we'll now go over into a little bit of Friday, it really won't affect your committee schedule on Thursday. So do what you need to do there. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole. Thank you.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Representative Shepperson.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 44. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 44, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to the Crime Victims Compensation Act.
Okay.
This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which returned it with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Alden, Bagby, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 44 do pass, and further move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 44. I will briefly explain that amendment, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, on page 2, if you look at lines 6, 7, and 8, it refers to the maintenance of a statewide automated victim information notification system. And the committee decided to take that language out. And so basically what the amendment does is take out lines 1 through 14 on page 2. And the reason for taking that language out is that statute already provides for their ability to use funds from the compensation account to have that automated victim information notification system. We've already got it. It's up and running, and we just thought that was duplicative language. So I urge your support of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 and would call for the question if there are no questions.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. And I would defer to the good representative from House District 51 for an explanation of House Bill 44.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I bring before you the Crime Victims Compensation. And ladies and gentlemen, what this bill's intent is to do is to raise the minimum payment by an offender from $50 to $100 and not more than $300. And we've had quite a bit of discussion both in judiciary and just amongst members discussing the need for this increase. This is an assessment that is collected in the first 10 days of an offender being charged with a crime. And what I want to explain to you is the reason for crime victims compensation. This is for individuals who, for example, if you were hit by a drunk driver and you had a serious accident, one I can give you an example of is last year a family of five where the mother was killed The father was seriously injured. The children had injuries, but then were somewhat orphaned while the father was being taken care of with medical treatments, and the grandmother was terribly injured. The cost for just some of those needs, like child care, loss of income, and medical expenses that crime victims was able to pay out based on assessments over the last few years of offenders was $65,000 to this family. It doesn't even come close to taking care of the needs of that family. And so what this account tries to do is bring an individual that has been victimized back to a pre-victim status. What the agency is having difficulties with is collecting the funds. And in previous years, we have had substantial funding from the federal government, which has decreased somewhat. And also we had a pool of those funds. And now as we've become more active in trying to help these victims, we are currently spending about $149,000 a month out of this account and taking in about $139,000. So this would give us an opportunity to increase that fund. And that is the purpose of this bill, and I stand for question, Madam Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to hear any of the committee work on this bill, but I have a few questions. On page 2, line 7, the word automated, I'd like an explanation as to how that works with an automated victim information and notification system. And then on page 3, line 8, really lines 1 through 9, I see that it increases the assessment from $150 to $350. And then for a subsequent plea or conviction, as identified on line 8, it goes from $200 to $400. And my question there is it more onerous because it's a subsequent conviction, or is it just an opportunity to raise the rate? And then on the page 3, line 18, where it gives the division the opportunity to pursue contempt, I'm assuming that means that that the victim's workers in each county would have the ability to file a petition for contempt and bring that before the district court or the circuit court, wherever it might be. And is that the idea? Would it be that same work, or would we have to hire more people to do the contempt petitions, which would raise the amount we need in the fund? And then lastly, on restitution. You know, restitution, which is ordered by the court, whether it might be property damage or some other item, is ordered to be paid by the court, and that's on top of any crime victim's compensation assessment. I'm fully in favor of crime victims' compensation in the crime victim accounts. I just wonder if this is if we're on the right track here to do it, to increase money into the fund. It's in a sense a user fee by those defendants who are charged and plead that they're paying for the crime victim system. And, you know, in some circumstances, it's, I would guess that in many circumstances, there is no victim. It's a DUI, it's some other victimless crime. When everyone pays into this, in the crime victim's compensation, really what it tends to do sometime is have the judge lower the fine that they may give because the crime victim's compensation assessment has gone up. So with that, I do support the program. I'm just I would like to hear some more rationale as to why I should really be excited about this. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Madam Chairman, I think along with you, I wish that Our good friend from the Northwest was in that committee meeting also. The first question is in regard to the automated system, and it's called Vine. And right now, more than 5,000 people can access that program. And what that does is it helps for the victims be notified if their offender has been released so that they can make certain that they're more secure. And this system is managed by the division. We did take that out because it's something that they already do, and certainly I guess funding could go towards that, but that is not their emphasis. The reason that we are looking at increasing the fund from a minimum of $50 to $100 and not more than $300, for example, on page 2, section A, starting on line 19, is that at this time the judge typically, most of the testimony that we heard, they may assess $100. And I would think that this in discussion in committee and the work we've been doing on it allows the judge to not assess less than $100 and not more than $300 in this situation. So there's a lot of latitude there. But really, they've not been collecting more than $100 on that. And yes, there was the discussion about it being somewhat onerous if we brought it from $200 to $400. But again, we thought, based on some testimony from the public, that that is a deterrent, that most people may consider that a higher penalty and not offend an individual. And as far as the division goes in trying to retrieve those funds, at this time, out of the budget that's at $1.1 million, they have only recovered $60,000. And I just think that there needs to be a more organized manner about retrieving these funds. And that's why they went with this idea that we would have to deal with someone from Crime Victims trying to fill out an affidavit and going towards that process of getting the funds collected. And I agree with you that we do have the discussion again, too, on victims in regard to restitution, and that does play into it. But this is the first penalty before the rest takes place. And I think maybe the chairman of judiciary could assist me in further detail here. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Madam Chairman.
Majority floor leader.
I just had one follow-up question to that then. The victim services workers, are not paid with the funds from these assessments. These funds go to the victims?
Madam Chairman, that is correct.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I ask this question, I guess, out of my experience of sitting on the bench sometimes as a circuit court magistrate, and I have the single mother who is supporting her kids who for some reason made a mistake and she finds herself in misdemeanor court. And she's faced with a mandatory minimum fine and now a mandatory minimum surcharge. And I'm wondering if there was any consideration for giving some leeway to folks. And that's why, I mean, I think the existing statute does that, but that was my concern. Is there any consideration for leeway for folks in this arena?
Madam Chairman, thank you. And yes, that was in discussion and consideration. And the consensus seemed to be that raising it from a minimum of 50 to 100 was still appropriate in today's economy, and that allowing it to be not more than $300 gave the judge that latitude to, I guess, individualize that woman you're speaking of, that single woman with children, in what she would be able to pay back. Thank you.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Just to briefly to go over some of the other questions and issues, you know, when we talked about raising these, it's important to note that we're now giving the judges a range, both in municipal court and in circuit court and higher courts, and we're only raising the minimum $50 in the case of municipal court from $50 to $100. And then in the case of circuit courts and higher, we're going from $100 to $150 as a minimum. And then, of course, as you see there on page 3, lines 6 through 9, for repeat offenders that are specified in paragraphs Romanet 1 through 4, which deal with assault and drug cases and things like that, if you want to look at that, we jump up the minimum to $200. And the basic reason was, we heard testimony on this, is these are funds that actually go to victims of crime, and that federal funds have dried up, and we supplemented our payouts, legitimate payouts to victims of crime, through those federal monies. And as those federal monies have gone away, we find ourselves in the red, so to speak, or hemorrhaging at the rate of $10,000 per month when you compare income to payments to victims. And so we want this system to be self-sufficient. It's a legitimate system with legitimate payouts to victims. This legislature, I think more than 10 years ago, decided to give not only victims' Bill of Rights, but also to establish this system. It's just like workers' comp or anything else. If we're going to establish a system and we place a priority on giving victims rights and giving them compensation for the crimes committed against them, we have a responsibility to the citizens to make sure the system is solvent. And the person, as the good representative from Park County jokingly noted, it's kind of a user fee. But, you know, in reality, the defendants, the people who commit the crimes upon pleading guilty or conviction, are the ones paying this. And I can't think of a better way to accomplish our goal than that. With regard to page 3, line 18, when we talked about the words "or by the division," that's specifically referring to the ability, or giving the statutory authority to the victims' comp folks under the Attorney General's office to go after people who have not paid their victim comp fund as assessed by the court. Now, we had some discussion on this in committee. I'm not sure the victims' comp folks necessarily cared, but to specifically address the good representative from Park County's question, I asked the question, would giving the division the ability to go out and try to collect these fees result in them requesting an additional position? The answer was no. They have an attorney on staff, is the one that looks at these anyway and sends out a letter now, as it is, to the various county attorneys and district attorneys for enforcement. And so, and I'm sure the representative from Jackson might have some comments on this as well, but it's not going to cost us any more money. And if nothing else, it's statutory language that would allow them to send county attorneys either an affidavit and perhaps a petition that the county attorney could just sign and then proceed into court to collect those funds as well. I hope I've answered any of the other questions that were posed, and stand for more questions if there are any.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Every time we do a bill, you learn about another part of government that you knew absolutely nothing about. I guess my question is simple. I don't understand why the court isn't completely in charge of collecting whatever fines that the court assesses, and why the court wouldn't know that. I don't understand why you would have to hire additional people to follow up. And I would think the court would want to know if fines were not being paid.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, and that's an excellent question. Some courts, with regard to fines, do issue what we call orders to show cause for folks to come in and tell the court why they haven't paid. In other instances, in a term of probation, usually one of the terms of probation is not only do you obey the laws and do everything else you're supposed to do, but to timely pay your fines, costs, and assessments as ordered by the court. And so sometimes the county attorney files a petition with an affidavit alleging a probation violation. And so to answer your question, you know, sometimes the courts do it, sometimes the county attorneys do it. But in this case specifically, I asked the question whether or not they would need an additional person if they were to go after the person in court and file a contempt motion. And the answer was is that they would not need an additional person. And so that's the best answer I can give you. It's not going to cost any more money. And they really didn't care if we had the or by the division language in there or not, because the fact of the matter is that it's most likely going to be the county attorney who files a petition for revocation of probation because a defendant has not paid a fine, a cost, or an assessment, as in the case of the victim's comp fund.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Buchanan's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that bill number 44 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 44 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 57, Emergency Powers, Right to Bear Arms, an act relating to Homeland Security, introduced by Representative Yagi. This bill was referred to Committee No. 1, Judiciary, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 57 do pass, and further move Standing Committee Amendment No. 1 to House Bill 57. Briefly explain the Standing Committee Amendment. Page 2, line 15. This amendment was offered basically to make it more clear that when you are under the provisions of this act, in addition to the governor, the director, or the executive heads or governing bodies of political subdivisions, we were in the bill, it makes clear that they cannot confiscate a firearm from a person unless certain things are applicable, as you see there, A, B, and C on the next page. The amendment simply also inserts after the word state, sheriffs, chiefs of police, or any employee or agent of the state or any governmental unit within the state. It was kind of it's an amendment to just make it really clear that it applies to everyone, basically. And I would call for the questions if there are no questions.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just have a question, and I was wondering if the good chairman just could give me an example of what would fall on the amendment, what they're referring to when they say, or any employee or agent of the state or any governmental unit within the state. I guess this just appears to be a broad catch-all, and I'm a little concerned about that. So if an example would help me. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. An example, let's see, of another agent of the state or governmental unit. It includes an employee, so I guess it'd be anybody else other than a specific law enforcement officer. You know, and I'm not sure I can think of an exact example of who else it would be that would be enforcing, the laws. But I know the representative from Jackson is up at the mic. Who's going to say this was his amendment, and he could probably think of a better example because I can't think of one. But I do know the amendment was basically to be more specific, so that we made it clear that the government was not going to be able to confiscate a firearm under the provisions of this legislation unless certain conditions were met.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The example that we were thinking of in committee was in many counties, they have a head of emergency management. Most of that Homeland Security emergency management folks, they are under this belief that when there is an emergency, that they suddenly overrule the sheriff and everyone else. That was the concern, that an employee of emergency management in a county government would all of a sudden try to start making rules.
You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would defer to the good representative from House District 18 for an explanation of his bill.
Representative Yeagie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's still a little scary to me to stand up here, but it's a good experience. I am speaking in favor of House Bill 57, Emergency Powers of Right and Keep and Bear Arms. It just helps keep our Second Amendment rights intact, that we can keep and bear arms. And as I mentioned before, the reason for this bill was the Louisiana Hurricane Katrina confiscation, where the New Orleans police superintendent ordered the confiscation of guns and just left a lot of people defenseless and just felt pretty bad that they didn't have what they should have with their right to keep and bear arms. And then when they went to get them, it just didn't turn out as good as it should have also. So again, before I got this bill drafted, I called the head of the sheriff, police, law enforcement, asked about the bill. They thought it was a good idea to have this bill, and so I went forward using the Louisiana bill as a template, got LSO to draft it. Our law enforcement were very concerned that we did not stand in the way of them doing their job, law enforcement. And so if you look on page 2, line 19, A, B, and C, it talks about their being able to perform their abilities. Then this was approved by our law enforcement officials. I have talked to some past and present law enforcement officials, and the two that are in the legislature are co-sponsors on this bill. They feel good about it. I kind of feel we need the bill because the federal government slowly, step by step, is taking away the Second Amendment rights through the Brady Bill, the Federal Firearms Reform Act, having gun owners fingerprinted, photographed. They're trying to ban lots of guns, and they kind of start picking on the semi-automatics. This includes shotguns, rifles, and handguns, calling them assault weapons. Trying to get gun owners licensed and registered, and just lots of things that I just am very uncomfortable with, and I feel good about presenting this bill. It has been passed in 21 other states, and most of the bills are similar to the one that you have before you. I just found a little quote that says, "Gun control is not about guns, it's about control," and I just think this is a good thing for us to have. Again, it helps Wyoming citizens keep the Second Amendment rights intact. And as you look through this bill, this page is talking about hunter safety. And as I talked to LSO, that was just a bad mistake. So just put a line through that. That doesn't have anything to do with our bill. That bill will be coming up. So it just goes to the corrected copy with no financial problems or impositions. So I'd stand for questions on this bill. Thank you.
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, I was curious about the definitions. So many times we quote a citation from another part of the statute, And I was curious as to whether there was any discussion as far as the definition of a firearm. And then I was curious about the down on at the bottom of page 2 also, a person being unlawful possession of firearm is provided in Title 6 of the Wyoming statutes, what all that included. And a little more specifically, there are certain firearms that it's my understanding are considered illegal, but that definition of firearms doesn't sound like it would include those.
Representative Yeagie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question, first one, was what is the definition of a firearm? This one was taken right out of the other state's definition of a firearm, and I just assumed it was a good thing. You pull the trigger and it goes bang. So I don't know if I can answer the question anymore. Expel a projectile. So I don't know if I have that. And chapter 6 down the bottom, the law enforcement people looked at this and said they were okay with this. So I can't even tell you what they said other than they gave it their blessing.
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, that's how I read it too. And then I sort of started thinking of bazookas and surface-to-air missiles. But then I thought, well, surely there's some place that defines a firearm as those that we normally think of as legally those that we can possess in the state, and among those are not automatic weapons and so on. So I was just wondering if there was more, if that had been considered in the definition.
Representative Yeagie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I relied very heavily on the law enforcement as they looked at this to define what it was. And again, I'm not sure a bazooka is something that anybody was thinking about. I assume that firearms means firearms and not bazookas.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you Representative Escobel?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. We were talking about definition, and maybe I've misread this, but on page 2, line 5, am I incorrect in assuming that refers to the definition of firearm, which states that a firearm means any weapon which will or is designed to expel any projectile by the action of an explosive? Or did I get off track somewhere around this?
Representative Yeagie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just reading that, I guess it could mean a bazooka, but I think the intent of this, and I think those type of weapons would also be covered by this, but I think the intent that we had on this one was firearms as we normally would think of firearms.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Firearm is defined, see if I can find it here, under 68104. Y Romanet 2, and it means any pistol, revolver, or derringer designed to be fired by the use of a single hand.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Buchanan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 57 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 57 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mostly on my right, your left, and a little bit on my left, your right, is a very exceptional class sponsored by the Casper College. It's a group of senior people who want to learn more about different things. One of their classes has to do, how do you lobby the Wyoming legislature? So on my right, we have with us Vicki Pollack, who's the coordinator of this big program, and I'd like to ask her to stand. And the teacher of the class is Wendy Lau, and if Wendy'd raise her hand. And if the rest of the class would stand up, I would appreciate it. They are a very effective group on lobbying legislators, and they focus on the Natrona County group. Now, on my left, your right, is another member of that lobbying class, and she's done a dang good job for a long time on lobbying me. My wife, Lynn Lockhart, on the left. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Lockhart. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 61, Election Judges, an Act Relating to Elections, introduced by Representative Millen. This bill was referred to Committee No. 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Brown, Gilmore, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Korberg, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dand, signed Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Illaway.
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 61 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. The representative from District 8, it's her bill. She will discuss the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill.
Representative Millen.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. The amendment that you see before you today actually takes out the split shift for workers. And I would ask you to resist supporting that amendment. The reason is, if you look on page 2, starting on line 19 of the bill, it says it is at the discretion of the county clerk that county judges may be allowed to work at a polling premise on election day for a period of time less than the total amount of time the polls are open, and so on. This bill was brought to me first by our county clerks and some of the people that work as election judges. And then when we went to Corporations Committee last week, our county clerks were there kind of speaking on behalf of the Wyoming Association of County Clerks that they wanted this taken out of the bill. They had no problem with the student election judges part, but they felt like the counties run things so differently. They thought that if you were able to work split shifts, that somehow you would leave the poll and influence the election. Because in some of the counties, you are helping feed the ballots into the machines and counting them. Well, as I found out last week, people would rather do things at a local level and start from the bottom up. And I don't know why our county clerks can't make the decision, decide what they want to do if it works for them in Laramie County to have election judges work shifts. Why they can't do that. If it doesn't work in Iberia County, then that's up to the discretion of the clerk. And so I would just ask you to resist this amendment, and then I guess I'll talk more on the bill after that.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is kind of one of those things where some county clerks wanted it and some county clerks didn't want this particular piece of the bill. It is permissive. It does say may. It gives the county clerks that permission to do it either way. I would urge the defeat of the amendment. After taking a look and listening to other county clerks, it's still permissive. Allow them to do it the way they want to do it. So I'd urge the defeat of the amendment.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I support this amendment. The comments I got back from my county clerk were that she thinks it's going to be hard enough to maintain the integrity of the election without people coming and going. The other concern she has is it's hard enough to get judges, let alone to get people to come and take their place. So she doesn't think this is a good bill. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also urge your defeat of this amendment. The only reason I signed on to this bill was to give our senior citizens and our students a chance to work under more conducive circumstances at the polling places. This bill provides for that. If we pass the amendment, we have basically stripped the bill. It is, as you heard, permissive. It is at the discretion of the county clerks. I would urge you to read that language and defeat this amendment. Thank you very much.
Representative Stubson.
Madam Chairwoman, I would urge you to vote in favor of the amendment. The representative from District 8 mentioned that the whole purpose behind this bill was to assist the county clerks, and it seems to me strange that if we are going to do that, that in the face of the county clerks coming to us and saying, no, they don't want this legislation, what they would rather have is uniformity across counties, given the requirements of the Help America Vote Act, that we would foist this upon them in, nonetheless. It's almost like saying we're going to help you whether you like it or not. So given the clerks' discomfort with the bill, I would just urge you to go ahead and support the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let's be sure we understand what we're talking about here. Those election clerks, as it now stands, are going to be there somewhere between 12 and 16 hours. They're pulling somewhere between a 12 and a 16-hour shift. And this says that a county clerk, if the clerk wishes to, can modify that. Doesn't have to. The county clerks that don't want this amendment still are left with the discretion to say the only people that I'm going to have as election judges are those who can pull a full 12 to 16-hour shift. However, in other counties where the county clerk doesn't perceive a problem or does perceive a problem in that it's really difficult to get people that are going to pull a 12 to a 16-hour shift, that county clerk can exercise discretion and split those shifts and make it easier for people to work without having to commit an extraordinarily long day. So I urge you to defeat this standing amendment.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I also urge you to defeat this amendment. We did have discussion about this in the Corporations Committee meeting, but truly some county clerks wanted it, some did not. And this, just as a reminder, once again, I hate to keep repeating the same thing, but this is not mandatory. It is a may. It allows the county clerks to take advantage of this if they would like to in their own special circumstances or not. So I urge your defeat of this amendment.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I would urge the body to vote against this amendment also. In the committee meeting itself, the county clerks indicated that they have not come together and actually made a decision or have a consensus within their group. I guess the thing that really makes this feel strange to me is when we have not given people the opportunity to make a decision and we mandated something to take place, they opposed it. Now we have a few of the county clerks who are in opposition of having the discretion to do something. And I think that it's up to them. It leaves it up to them, and let's give them that ability, because some of the county clerks want that discretion on and against the amendment.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question real quick for the bringer of the bill. I guess forgive my ignorance in this, but are we saying with this amendment we are still allowing our county clerks to have the ability to, I'm all for elderly rights and our young people getting involved in elections, but we obviously, voter fraud and voter tampering is a serious, serious issue. We don't want to do anything in this body that would make that a little easier. So what I want to know is if something like that should happen, should go on, because I understand the point of having people at the polls the entire time. If you split the time up, there is the potential that they could leave the polling place and then somehow affect the election because they're getting information and they have, they see things that the rest of us don't. So the county clerk, if they see things like that going on, can not do these half shifts and go back to the full shift. Is that correct?
Representative Millen.
Yes, to answer my friend from House District 12, once you've left, yes, you can't go back in to work another shift. There is an oath that election judges take, and I can, that's in 22.8.115, that says, you know, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will impartially and to the best of my knowledge and ability perform the duties of my office. I will studiously endeavor to prevent all fraud, deceit, and abuse in the application of the election laws of this state. So people are taking an oath on this that they will not discuss what they see. But the point is, you know, in Laramie County, there's no way that you can somehow control. You don't see the ballot. I know in other counties, maybe you do see the ballot, but if their county clerk chooses not to let them have split shifts, then that's up to their discretion.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would urge the defeat of this amendment. Having been an election judge myself, I can speak from my experience as an election judge. It's correct. It's a 12 to 16-hour day. You have a chief judge on the premises that controls the situation. If you have a person that needs to leave because of a family emergency or sickness, currently they cannot leave. We vote in the mornings. When you get to the polling place, you vote first. Then you assume your duties. This gives a discretion to the counties to help move this process along. On and against the amendment.
Is there any other discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 61? Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 61 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has failed. We are back on the bill. Representative Millen.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. All right. Now that we've got that back in the bill, leaving the discretion up to the county clerks, I just, you know, we did hear that, you know, some of our senior citizens, they might find it difficult to work 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And we heard in committee that they'll take anyone who's breathing. And, you know, I think that's wrong. And I think having a split shift is when you get people like me who maybe have a job where I work until, you know, I want to work till 4 o'clock, but then I could go work from 4 to 8, or our students who are in college or, in high school where maybe they want to be, they get out their junior or senior year at noon and could go work the polls at from noon to 8. And what, you know, what about our citizen workers or families that, you know, they have children at home and maybe they can get daycare during, part of the day, but not the whole day, but they want to participate, then they'd be able to go work part of a shift. So we've already talked about the oath. You know, if people wanted to deceive the process, they could probably go and use the restroom and use their cell phone to call someone. And so I would just urge you to pass this bill and leave it to the discretion of the clerks on how they run their local elections. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illoway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 61 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 61 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 3. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3, Campaign Finance Reporting, Electronic Filing, an Act Relating to Campaign Finance Reporting, introduced by the Corporation Committee. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which returned a committee decision to pass amended. Ayes, Brown, Gilmore, Illoway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Quarberg. Signed, Representative Illoway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 3 do pass. This bill was referred to the JAC. They made no changes. I would like to have the young representative from District 43 discuss the bill.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. House Bill 3 takes our antiquated campaign filing system of mailings and faxes and makes it an online electronic campaign system and database as of January 1st, 2010. Wyoming is the only state that does not have some form of electronic campaign filing, or at least a way of viewing campaign finance reports online. This bill, to walk you through it, allows our current campaign filing system to stay in place through this year's election and through 2009 to give time to build the system and time to give the county clerks to disseminate the information, learn how to use the system in their home counties. The system then should hopefully be in place by the 2010 election cycle. Starting on page 1, 2225-101, details this date change and gives the Secretary of State power to promulgate rules and regulations to get the system established. Currently, county political parties have to file in their county. It takes away that requirement, and all county political parties now file the Secretary of State. The system that is being designed will include access to both the Secretary of State and to the county clerks in each county to track state and county filings. The appropriation on the bill is $2.5 million. The amount is much less than other states have spent on developing their systems, and our Chief Information Officer's office has reviewed the appropriation and believes it is on target for what we're talking about here. There was some uneasiness in the committee on making electronic filing mandatory, and I believe the amendment coming up will address the controversial nature of the bill and whether or not that should be mandatory. I'd wait for the amendment.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill Number 3 and ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment. As you can tell, we talked about this extensively during the summer in interim committee. I was a no vote when it came out of committee this summer, and again, I was a no vote when it came out of committee again this time. And my reason for bringing the amendment is that it's just a basic value thing with me that as this bill goes forward for the first time, we do electronic filing. It just simply is not right to make it mandatory and binding on everyone who falls under this act and who has to file electronically. Follow down. So that's the basic crux of the amendment. If you will follow down with me through the amendment, all of the changes on page 1, changes to 4, 9, and 10 are just to make this House Bill 3 conform with not making it mandatory. If you will turn over to page 2, line 1, we would have to reinsert the stricken language. If it were not mandatory, the Secretary of State would still have to furnish the forms to those who did not want to file electronically. Page 2, lines 2 through 15, it would just, because it would not be mandatory, then obviously there would not be the pre-imposed dates of January 1st, 2010. And then obviously on page 2, line 17, you're taking the shall out and changing it to may so that it is strictly an option. They would still have other alternatives available. Don't get confused by page 3, line 7 through 24. We are not deleting that whole part of statute. We simply are deleting the inserted language, which means that if we delete that language, we would no longer be making any changes to page 3, lines 7 through 24. So that's why the amendment reads to delete entirely. You're not deleting that they have to file 7 days before primary. If this bill were not constructed to be mandatory, you would never have seen lines 7 through 24 in the bill to begin with. And then on page 4, line 4, it just basically directs the Secretary of State to maintain the searchable database. If you've filed electronically, if you've chosen not to file electronically, the Secretary of State would scan the copies and would still post them on the Internet, but they would not be part of the database. And I guess what there's a couple of things I'd like to mention to bring to your attention on this. In 2003, we allowed the Secretary of State, we put it into state statute, that you could file electronically if the Secretary of State adopted rules which allowed for electronic filing. So from 2003 to date, the Secretary of State has done nothing to start electronic filing. And then all of a sudden they come forward and they want electronic filing, which is fine. I mean, I support it 100%, but they come forward and the only way that it's palatable now is if it's mandatory. And I just think if we maybe had started it 2003 or 2004, maybe by now people would be used to filing electronically and we might be able to make it mandatory. But to start out from the very beginning, I just think is not fair to the citizens of this state. I think they should have the opportunity to have other alternatives available to them from the beginning. I fully support it. I support the appropriation for it. I think it's a good bill. I think it's a step in the right direction. But I just think that at this point in time, it is wrong to make this mandatory for all people who need to file these forms. So on in favor of the amendment, and I would stand for questions.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment. Let's take a look. It talks about, on page 2, until January 1, 2010, the county clerk shall also distribute reporting forms. It says that this will not be mandatory until after December 31, 2009. That's one election away. It's actually two elections away. So let's talk for a minute about why. You were handed out a handout. It was on your desk. It came from House District 42. It's with an outfit that put it together. That I can't name, but it does have four columns of figures on the front page, and it's got some writing on the back page. Take a look at what they had to do. The Secretary of State's office is a filing agency, filing department for receipts and expenditures. They have no way, when you send that receipt and expenditure form in, which we all do, it is filed in a file drawer. They don't look at it to make sure it's legible. They don't look at it to make sure that it's mathematically correct. It is put in a filing drawer because we said that you had to file it with the Secretary of State. Now, if you take a look at what was handed out to you, you'll notice that somebody did some work. They went down and they looked at total raised in the original handout that this outfit handed out to us in committee. And take a look at the amount of error that was picked up off those forms when they went down and did some manual looking at those receipts and expenditure forms. It's quite revealing to show you that they made corrections. There were corrections. There was twice as much money as first reported, and then they went back and found out that that there were some mathematical errors. This is why you want a searchable database. If you go down now to the elections office and try to find out what your opponent did 2 years ago, you have to search through a file cabinet, a file drawer full, and then hopefully it's correct. Some of them cannot be read. Some of them are mathematically incorrect, and some of them are just plain wrong. This is why, after 2009, we want to go ahead and have a searchable database, and that it goes, you put it in, and you make it right, and then it goes into the Secretary of State's office. The second thing is that making folks come down here to file their forms in Wyoming is tough. If we allow these things to be done electronically, it will bring us at least into the 21st century. So I think it's important, and I ask you to defeat the amendment.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Also against the amendment, I believe what the amendment does is calls for a dual-type filing system, the Secretary of State's office. Maybe the good representative from Thermopolis can address this. But if we have three-fourths of the people filing electronically and the other one-fourth filing regularly, we're going to have to pay a person in the Secretary of State's office, possibly an additional position or an increase in duties, to either A, input this data into the electronic system, or B, as the good representative said, scan the documents, but then those documents, they don't work and integrate into the electronic system. So I guess I believe if we pass the amendment, it's going to create a lot more staff time and a lot more hardship for the Secretary of State's office. I believe that if we give people 2 years' notice, they'll understand how to use this computer system. They can find people to help them. Their county clerks are going to know how to use this system as well, the local libraries. They can find a computer. They can find help on how to do it if they're struggling. But I don't believe this is going to be a burdensome system. It's designed to be user-friendly. Thank you.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I urge you to oppose this amendment also, and let me give you my rationale. If there's anyone in this body more illiterate computer-wise than I don't know who it could be, but we all have friends. Thank you, Representative. We all have younger friends, and I am told that this is pretty easy to do, and I suspect among the burdens involved in running for office, the last thing you want to do is try and keep track of the money yourself. The second thing is we're making a significant investment in this effort, and that's thanks to the hard work of this committee and their chair in addressing the issue. Not only should we not be last to get on board in the country, but we ought to really do it. So many programs in this state we hold back from making them mandatory, believing that all of us make the right decision when given a couple of options, and we know that's not true. I would ask again that you vote against this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I want to say hallelujah. I am so excited. If any of you have filled out your own, my treasurer was busy, and so I had to fill out my own form for our report that we had to do in December, and I couldn't believe I filled out the whole thing, and I couldn't push a button and immediately send it back to the to the Secretary of State's office. It absolutely was astounding to me that I had to print it and mail it. And I am just really glad that we're moving forward in this regard. The reason, however, that we have brought the amendment is because there is a group of people that this will be problematic, and they may, in fact, choose not to run for office. This will become an obstacle for them. As you may recall, I think we're all thinking of ourselves in legislative races. But in fact, when you read the statute, this includes any candidate for municipal, county, judicial, school, or college board office. This means your city council, your school board members, all of those people that don't have big committees, they're all going to be required to do this. And if I'm sure all of your communities are computer literate, and I would hope that in a few years my community will be completely computer literate, but there are a group of retired people and perhaps other people who aren't retired who I think would serve ably that will be precluded from doing this. And our assumption that we would pass a law because they have to go out and look for a friend, or as someone suggested, go find some kid in town. I suggest eighth graders. They all have to be computer literate. That's a peculiar law to have, that we have to find a friend to do something for us. We are in a period of transition. We're very close to being to the other side, but we're not there yet. And I would hate to keep any good, qualified candidate from serving in their communities because of our desire to make everything completely searchable. This is doable to do it for a period of time simultaneously. I fully expect the vast majority of these to be sent in over the internet, and that we will have so much information that we will be delighted with that. But I don't want us to keep one qualified person from serving in this state because of the choice of supporting this. For that reason, I support the amendment as it stands before you.
Representative Brown.
Well, Madam Chairman, it just occurs to me there are probably some people out there who'd like to run for office who aren't literate at all and can't read or write. And they may have to go find some kid to do it for them. And, yeah, it's a barrier, but not one that I'm willing to take seriously. And we have just moved forward to the point where I don't think that enough computer literacy to electronically file a campaign report is a barrier. And I would suggest that's just absurd to say that that's a barrier that's going to keep a qualified individual from running. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would note that on page 2, it says at the top, the Secretary of State shall prescribe the forms for reporting receipts and expenditures for primary, general, and special election campaigns. So those doesn't say anything about anything else. It says primary, general, and special election campaigns. The second thing is, and I don't have it right at hand, but the Secretary of State's office did produce a document that said that Wyoming had one of the highest percentages of those that owned computers in the United States. So we are literate. We do like to use computers, and I do not think that saying that people aren't computer literate. I think people are way more computer literate than we give them credit for. They know how to use PDAs. They know how to use a lot of electronic things. This should not be a barrier.
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, thank you. On and for the amendment, I have two concerns. One of them is whether or not my co-chair on the other side of the floor would be able to file. The second concern, though, is I think that if you can find one person in the state of Wyoming who is unable to do this, that this would be unconstitutional. And because you're violating their rights to run for public office. And I don't see why a gradual approach isn't the right approach in this. This is the direction we are moving, and this amendment accomplishes that. I think it's the way we want to go. Thank you.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to respond to a couple of the questions and the points that were brought up about the amendment. Number one, this amendment in no way does away with the searchable database. It keeps the searchable database intact. True, those people who do choose to file by hand or by mail, theirs will not be part of the database. But if you've ever scanned a document, it is very easy. It takes little or no effort to run those pages through a scanner. You make it a PDF file and you post it on the internet as this candidate. They can click on that candidate and see that candidate's form has been filed, and it's just that simple. It's very, very easy to scan a document and put it on the internet. So first of all, it does not do away with the searchable database, and it gets the it's fully supportive of electronic filing. The key to me is it just doesn't make it mandatory. Now, if I remember correctly from testimony this summer, we are the last state that doesn't provide electronic filing. Not every state makes electronic filing mandatory. But we are indeed the last state to provide electronic filing. And if we had started this in 2003 when we put it into statute, we would probably all be used to filing electronically by now, but we did not. So I guess the key is, and I would like to use the words that my chairman used when he got up here. He said, if we allow, that is the key. The key is allowing it, not mandating it. I urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Madam Chairman, we heard in committee, I made the same suggestion in committee. I said, why can't you just scan them, put them in a PDF form and stick them in, and then they're available electronically? And the answer from the Secretary of State's office, which I accept, is that is not a searchable database. In other words, you can't slice and dice it. You can't select for categories within that. It's true that you can pull the documents up as PDF documents and look at them, but you can't slice and dice it. So it's not searchable by category. And so I don't consider that a searchable database. The other thing that troubles me about this, as I think about it some more, is we're assuming that those people who will not file electronically are those who cannot because they live clear out at the end of a wire somewhere. But the way this is written, it could be equally available to somebody that has a devious intent. And that is, they don't want it searched. They don't want it to be in there searchable. And so they exercise their option and they say, well, I've got an option. I can either file electronically or not electronically. I'm going to file all mine by paper and see and continue to be evasive under the statutes in terms of who's going to take the trouble to go down to Cheyenne to look at it. So, again, I would urge you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Alden.
Madam Chairwoman, isn't it correct that it would still be very searchable, just not through an internet format? If you wanted that information, you come down here to the Secretary of State's office, you acquire it.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The way the amendment is written is that the document, if you chose to file in a written format, the document would be scanned and it would be posted on the internet. Now, true, it would not be integrated with the database for those who have filed electronically. That is true. But you would still be able to go on the internet, look under the Secretary of State's office, click that person's name, and there in a PDF format would be their forms all filled out. Now, you might have to go integrate them with the database that's already there if you're really interested in them. But I really take exception to the fact that someone would file in written format just to go around or try to hide something from being part of the searchable database. I just don't believe that that would simply be the case. On and for the amendment.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would just like to bring to the attention of the body that there is a certain segment of the population right now that still has overhead wire party line sort of phone systems in the state of Wyoming. Internet access is not even available on a system like that. They don't have broadband. So there are certain people that literally do not have the ability without going to satellite to have internet access, and I think you're going to disenfranchise those people.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Every library now has, I think I'm correct in saying every library has a computers available to the general public. There is no reason that if a person wants to file or to use the internet, and I dare say many, many folks do, and the good representative from just north of here is talking about those folks that don't have it, that's probably correct. There are some areas that probably don't. But it doesn't take very long to get into your county seat, go to the library, and use the computer. So it is possible.
All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 3, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The chair. All those in favor, please stand. All opposed? The amendment is adopted. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative Madden.
Yeah, I just have one simple question, but I think it's an important question, Madam Chairman. And that is, I see by the fiscal note it costs $2.5 million to build a data system to handle this. And I was wondering if there's anybody competent to explain to me why it would cost that much. And I guess as long as that's the concern, you know, what has it been to the Appropriations Committee, or do we have that kind of money available for? So it just seems like it's off by a factor of 10 at least. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, thank you. The chairman of the Corporations Committee has some documentation that would show you how that was arrived at. I just question why we'd pay $2.5 million for a database you can't search.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 3 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The chair is in question. All those in favor, please stand. House Bill 3 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries.
Committee announcements.
Chairman Illaway. Ready to wait.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 44, amended, recommended, do pass. House Bill 57, amended, recommended, do pass. House Bill 61, recommended, do pass. House Bill 3, amended, recommended, do pass. Signed, Representative Shepperson, Chairman.
Representative Shepperson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Congratulations, Representative Shepperson. Committee announcements. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet tonight upon adjournment in room H10, where we will discuss House Joint Resolution 6, statewide satellite carriage of Wyoming PBS, House Bill 102, quality child care, House Bill 77, tuition dependence of disabled firefighters and EMTs, and House Bill 117, developmental preschool funding.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize for, I thought we were just adjourning, not stopping. So, okay, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at 25 till 1, which gives you about 10 minutes to go to those luncheons. In House 18, we're going to talk about House Bill 160, Cooperative Electrical Utilities Rate Regulation. House Bill 145, because of have some problems with the sponsor, will be postponed until tomorrow. House Bill 170, Local Government Infrastructure Commission, will discuss, and House Bill 143, Memorial Hospital District's use of levy, will also be discussed today.
Further committee announcements. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet upon adjournment today to discuss 3 re-referred bills, House Bill 107, Property Tax Relief 2, House Joint Resolution 3, Residential Property Uniformity of Assessment, and House Bill 52, Developmental Programs Cost-Based Reimbursements.
Representative Eichel.
Privilege of the floor, please, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Just an announcement on the lunch in the atrium today at Hirschler Building, and then as close as possible to 12:30. which is not going to be possible, I think. In room 1699 in the Herschler Building, the addiction as a brain disease presentation by esteemed Dr. Friedman. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House recess until 2:15.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All opposed, say no. We stand in recess until 2:15.